It's 2 days after the primary election in Arizona, and we're creeping ever closer to getting the final results. The only major race still hanging in the balance as we await the final count is the Republican gubernatorial battle between Kari Lake and Karen Taylor Robeson. Lake leads at this stage by about 12,000 votes. And with us for a few minutes to talk about what happened and what it could mean for November is Chuck Coughlin, President and CEO of High Ground. Chuck, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Good to see you.
So we've heard this nightmare slate, doomsday slate, whatever we want to say about this. You're someone who was, let's put it this way, not pro-recount. And yet the people who look like they're going to win the Republican primaries in Arizona are just that. Mark Finchem, Kari Lake. What does that say about the current state right now?
Well, it's deeply divided. The Republican Party is in a civil war with itself. And you have all the data that we've seen is that clearly a majority of the electorate does not agree with the Steele movement and objects strongly to that. You get about 60% of Republicans that'll buy in on that, but that's clearly not enough to win a general election, particularly given the fact that general elections have 24% of unaffiliated voters that are going to participate. Mm.
So the old saw is that the Republicans move from the right to the middle and the Democrats move from the left to the middle. Is there any room for Kari Lake or Mark Finchem to actually have a middle? Or do they have a middle?
Well, there's room. I mean, there's a lot of room, but I don't think the word pivot is in either of their vocabularies. I think she said that yesterday. She's not even going to think about it. So what you think about that narrative, what's going to come is they're going to make that Democratic ticket so unappealing based upon the economy. They're going to tie him to Biden. They're going to call him, Marxist, socialist. They'll use every, can of paint in the book to go throw it at him. And so it's going to be negative.
Is this good for the Democrats then in that sense, or is it still going to be a tight race?
Well, it's an opportunity. I mean, it's an opportunity for the Democrats. But, we saw in the primary, too, we saw a lot of business-minded Democrats that lost their election, too. So that party tilted farther to the left in terms of progressivism. And so, what do you do? I mean, do you go back down the road of Planned Parenthood not endorsing pro-choice candidates that are endorsed by law enforcement? I'm sure we're going to hear about that from Republicans. And so, both parties are like their own worst enemy. It's like, let's shoot ourselves in the foot as many times as we can.
Well, so how would you assess what the Democratic slate looks like in terms of actual ability to appeal to voters? Because I think back a number of years ago when you had Rodolini as the AG candidate,
right,
you had Fred DeValle as the governor. I mean, these are appealing people who didn't really get juices flowing.
I mean, the best narrative that the Democrats have going is what we started with, is the election issue. They have a good candidate, a former county recorder in Adrian Fontes that is on the top of the ticket in the Secretary of State's race. I mean, I'm leading with that. I'm going to go with I'm putting Adrian out in front and saying, there's really no other issue here than the protection of democracy, and we cannot afford to allow somebody to run our elections or to own an office in our state that doesn't support democracy. I mean, that's bat on ball stuff with 75% of the electorate, and that's selling ice cream. You're in a hot Arizona summer. You're going
to
do well.
But is it more important to voters than, their paychecks, than the economy, than what they're spending on gas, et cetera?
Lauren, you're sounding like a Republican over there. Stop it.
I mean,
that's what's going to happen. I mean, they're going to do that. I mean, we know that. And that's going to be the debate in the fall. Is that going to be the issue, or is it going to be Biden, the economy, and inflation? Biden's going to be hoping that inflation comes back down between now and October. The economy and gas prices seem to stabilize, and the world order seems to get more better for him. But until then, it's going to be a negative barrage. I mean, Kari does really well at that. We know that. She is a master of the media and the master of controlling the media and controlling the narrative. And she will do her very, very best to paint those candidates as unacceptable to Arizona.
Chuck, you have worked for very powerful Republicans for a very long time, but I'm going to ask you a Democratic strategy question here. How much have Democrats potentially put the state at risk or independent expenditure groups by somehow finding a way to maybe help Kari Lake win this race, Mark Finchem win this race? Are they risking the next 4 years in Arizona to maybe get the chance of getting a couple wins?
Well, there's a giant editorial in the New York Times today about that, which says it's playing with fire. It's absolutely the wrong thing to do. And I didn't see that much of it out here. I saw a little bit of it. But I didn't really see. I know they've done that in other parts of the country, but I don't think they really needed to do it here in Arizona. The Republicans are fairly, you know, Trump's got a good foothold in this Republican Party in Arizona. It's not really it's not your father's GOP anymore. It's the Trump GOP.
So where then, Chuck, does that leave the section of the GOP electorate who voted for Robeson, who are voting for the your father's GOP party candidates?
Right. I mean, that's the older voters. I mean, that's the question. Do they say, okay, I'm going to vote the party line ticket? Do I just stay with my party, or do I stay home, or do I consider voting for a Democrat? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a huge emotional issue for a lot of those people. I was talking to Governor Symington the other day. You know, he's a GOP through and through. Jan Brewer's a GOP through and through. They were both Robeson voters. You know, they're not going to come out and say, hey, they're not going to come out and say vote Democratic. That's not going to happen. But they're struggling. I know they're struggling because their candidate lost. And that's troubling to them.
Chuck, briefly, this answers probably the question answers itself as I ask it. But, you know, we saw number of years ago, 4 years ago, the Ducey and Sinema crossover vote. If Karen Taylor Robeson somehow pulls this out, maybe we see a Kelly Robeson crossover. But if she doesn't, are we going to see any true crossover Democrat-Republican?
I think that's possible.
Okay.
I think that's eminently possible that you can see Democrats moving on, particularly rural Democrats. You could see that. But, you know, I think the real opportunity here is with the Democrats to go pull unaffiliated voters and some percentage of Republican voters that were never Trumpers or never in that span. I think that's the narrative line that's attractive that would – if I'm a general election consultant, that's what I'm doing.
All right. Chuck Coughlin, President and CEO of High Ground. Thank you.